one world religion. Something that's been speculated now for centuries, because the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, discusses how there will be a false prophet. There'll be a beast from the sea, who will be a political leader, an antichrist leader. Even there'll be a beast from the land who will be a false prophet. And these two will work together. Now, I'm not saying today that Joe Biden and Pope Francis are those two personages. But we do know that one world religion is emerging. I'm going to read a passage from Pope Francis's new book, Let Us Dream, The Path to a Better Future. And I'm also going to run for you a recent interview by Stephen Colbert interviewing Joe and Jill Biden, in which they praise Pope Francis. And it shows it's not an emerging friendship. This friendship's been going on well back in time under the Obama presidency. But we see that Joe Biden and Pope Francis, when it comes to global concerns, they are peas in a pod. They agree. They are on the same page. I'm going to run that interview for you and do a little commentary on it. Before I do, though, I want to welcome everyone. And we're going to begin with a prayer. We'll pray the Our Father in Latin. Please pray with me. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, se libera nos a malo. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, I'd like to begin by running this clip. This is Stephen Colbert interviewing the Bidens. And Joe Biden, listen closely, he'll talk about, well, there's actually a joke that Colbert makes that Biden misses. He talks about how during JFK, people were worried that there'd be like a white phone in the Oval Office of the Pope telling JFK how to run America by using his papal authority over the layman JFK. Biden misses that. And instead, he talks about how the Pope called to congratulate him, which I covered previously on a YouTube video podcast. So let's switch gears and go over here to Colbert. I'll pull up that video. Here it is. And let's push the play button. Here we go.
Buddy, we're back with President-elect Joseph R. Biden and future First Lady Dr. Jill Biden. You will be the second Catholic president. And I don't know about you. I'm maybe not growing up in a Presbyterian household, but in a Catholic household, there was an icon of JFK on my wall as a child, and RFK. I'm surprised more hasn't been made of the second Catholic president. It's significant, certainly, to me. JFK had to allay everyone's fears that there wasn't some emergency phone to the Pope to tell him what to do. But it's 60 years on. I mean, is it emails now? How is the Pope going to tell you how to govern?
Well, the Pope called me.
He called you?
This is where he misses the joke. And he says, no, it's not emails. Pope called me. Pope called me. And by the way, the Pope called him right after the election.
They called me.
Really?
To congratulate me. And matter of fact, I just had a nice phone call with His Eminence, the new cardinal, and Washington, who said he just got back from Rome and the Pope signed a book for me he wants me to have. The Pope's been incredibly generous to our family.
Yes.
When he came to visit.
Just for reference, he's talking about Archbishop Gregory of Washington, D.C., who has stated in public that he will give communion to Joe Biden. Joe Biden has married LMNOP LGBT people, which is against Catholic teaching. Joe Biden supports abortion and people funding abortion who find it evil. So he's broken with Catholic moral teachings in many ways. And yet, the Cardinal Archbishop of D.C., the successor of McCarrick, he said he will be giving communion to Biden. And we see already that Pope Francis, I did a video back in the campaign days of all this footage of Biden and Francis together at the Vatican and with nuns and all that. And I said, look, this footage, You can't just use footage of yourself with the Pope in political campaigns without getting permission. So it's obvious that Francis has given Biden permission to use them together in their campaign, because people used to find this crazy. Now they don't, because Pope Francis wants Joe Biden to be the president. The meta narrative here, according to Archbishop Vigano, is that China is the biggest superpower in the East, United States of America is the biggest superpower in the West, and the Pope wants to broker that marriage, that union of two super socialist powers, the East and the West, and therefore globalism, economic and political globalism, will prevail, and that requires an economic globalist chaplain. And that's the job that Pope Francis wants. He wants to be the chaplain of the New World Order. I'll read a passage here in his new book in just a moment. Let's continue with the Colbert interview.
We were the house Catholics, so we were the ones showing the Pope around. And Bo had just died just a couple weeks earlier. And he asked to meet with the family in the hangar at the airport as he was leaving in Philly. And he came in. We had 16 family members there. And he didn't just speak about Bo. He spoke in detail about Bo, about who he was and about family values and about forgiveness and about decency. I mean, he is I am a great admirer of His Holiness. I really am.
I know you've been very open about the importance of faith in your life. And Dr. Biden, I know you have a prayer partner that you picked up on the campaign. Who is that? And I've never had a prayer partner. What's a prayer partner?
I could be your prayer partner.
I'm in.
It was a woman I met. It was, you know, I had a real struggle with my faith after Bo died because I just didn't believe he was going to die. And we were in South Carolina at a church, and a woman came up to me.
An African-American church.
Yeah. And she put her hand on me.
I love how Biden has to clarify. It was an African-American church. Gotta keep that up.
We were in South Carolina at a church, and a woman came up to me.
An African-American church.
Yeah. And she put her hand on me, and she said, "Jill, I want to be your prayer partner." And I thought, prayer partner? I never heard of that. But I have to tell you, we call one another. She texts me a couple times a week. She actually texted me this morning. And we've continued to pray and pray for, you know, this country and people struggling. I mean, look how many people, Americans, are struggling through this pandemic. It's meant a great deal to me. So I figured so many people prayed for me and Joe when Bo was so ill. And now I need to pray. We need to pray for other people.
Both of you have been so open, and I say generous because not everyone feels comfortable sharing their grief with the public. Not demonstrably, but as an example of the necessity of grief to heal yourself. Our country has an unaddressed grief of the 300,000 people who have died, partly because our present leadership doesn't want to acknowledge the dimension of this tragedy. Mr. President-elect, what do you think the role of the president is in leading the country to face loss?
Well, look, you and I had a long discussion about this. You've had severe loss in your family, your dad, your brother. And it's profound. Think of all the people this Christmas are going to sit at a table with an empty chair across the table, a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad, somebody. And as you know, and I'm not being solicitous, you know that people want to know, people who've been through it, and can I make it? Can I make it? Mm-hmm. And what you and I talked about is that I think empathy is a critically important thing. It doesn't make it easier to talk about because you've been through it. But when you've been through it and you talk to people, they go, okay, I know he or she understands because they've been through it.
But and how do we address that right now? Because there is this unaddressed grief, and it seems to me that it's not healthy for the nation to pretend like.
So what happened here is Colbert set up a T-ball for Biden to bash President Trump, the current leadership, and Biden went into empathy and telling people you can make it. And Colbert's like, no, you didn't give me the answer I want. I'm going to come circle back here and try to get you to say what I want. It's amazing how these interviews are scripted to guide Biden. Here we go.
And it seems to me that it's not healthy for the nation to pretend like something. I'm worried that we're not addressing it, that we have to take a moment for the grief. And what is the role of the president to do that?
The role of the presidency is to say grieve. There is a reason to grieve. You've had great loss. But there will come a time to remind yourself. Just be reminded. The time will come when you think of your husband, wife, son, daughter, mom, or dad. You're going to get a smile to your lips before you get a tear to your eye. That's when you know you're going to make it. In the meantime, we have to let people know there's a lot of people out there who also need help, outside help. Look at all the nurses and the doctors who've gone through hell of holding someone's hand that has no family member there while they died, and the impact it's had on them. That's why we have to invest a lot more money in mental health, a lot more money in all these opportunities for people to have someone to talk to. You have to talk through it. But people know if they look around and see, this person made it, I can make it. We're going to get through this. It's going to be hell. And by the way, we're going to lose a lot more people.
Can't believe he said that.
We're going to lose a lot more people.
But I think one of the reasons
she's
that Joe was elected.
Stop talking, Joe. Let me interrupt you here.
Of his sense of empathy. And I think people understand that he's had a lot of tragedy and loss in our family. And
Jill's kind of the handler. I'm going to stop it there. All right, you get the idea. I'm going to return back to his praise of Pope Francis. It's interesting. He calls his family the House Catholics under President Obama. And what we've seen in America, Stephen Colbert was quite insightful in that interview because he said, I'm surprised we haven't heard more about this, about you becoming the second Catholic president of the United States. It's such a big deal. But the left in the New World Order, in the occultists and all these groups, they know it is a huge touchdown. It is a huge win to get a Catholic in the White House who does not uphold Catholic moral teachings. It is a huge win to get a cardinal into the Vatican, Jorge Bergoglio, on to the seat of Peter, who does not uphold the traditional moral teachings of the Catholic Church. Do you realize how deep the infiltration is that they're able to pull off a conclave election in 2013 to put Bergoglio in the Vatican, and then in 2020 to put the most prominent fake Catholic in the world, Joe Biden, into the White House? Unless President Trump can stop it with less than a month to go. A major victory. And Colbert's right. How come more people aren't talking about this? Perhaps they don't want us to talk about it. Perhaps they don't. It'll be interesting to see if this podcast episode gets throttled by the social powers that be. While I'm on the topic, please like the video. That tells the algorithm it's good. Who knows what the algorithm's doing us lately. Please share this video. That's the most important thing. That's how we get out of the algorithm on social media. Please share this video on Facebook, Parler, and Twitter so people see it. People think about it. People talk about it. People share it. The other day, someone said, what do people do who don't have a big social media following? They maybe have 10, 30, 100 followers on Facebook or Twitter. I say, share the important stories. Work around the social media structure. It is important. Think about 10 years ago. Think about all the letter writing and phone calls you had to do to share information. Now you can do it easily. So hit the share button and share this video and videos like it. And then if you're new, subscribe. Hit the subscribe button. Also hit the bell. There's a little button in the bottom right corner or under this video where you can subscribe. Please do subscribe. But Colbert's right. Why aren't more people talking about this new alliance where you have a president of the U.S. who's super excited about Pope Francis, and you got Pope Francis who's super excited about President-elect Biden, as he calls him. I'm not saying myself president-elect, because I think there was a problem with the election, obviously. Obviously. Now, I'm going to read from Pope Francis's book, Let Us Dream. And I went through the whole opening of the book last week. Please check that out. I'm going to, if I can, here it is. I want to put this back on. There you go. Okay, page 93. Pope Francis. He says, in walking together, reading the signs of the times, open to new things of the Spirit, we might take some lessons from this ancient church experience of synodality, which I have sought to revive. Now, I want to pause here. This past week, I did a video on why I say Holy Ghost, well, I say Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit for the third person of the Trinity, but I try to say Holy Ghost more often. People say, Marshall, why do you say Holy Ghost? Don't you know that Spiritus in Latin, Sanctus Spiritus, obviously comes into English as Spirit. So if you want to be more Latin, more Roman, say Spirit, not Ghost. The reason I say Ghost is because in English, Spirit no longer just means a spiritual person. You can talk about the Spirit of Woodstock, the Spirit of Vatican II, the Spirit of 76. You can say, get into the Spirit. You can talk about, I'm a spiritual person, which doesn't have any reference to organized religion. So the word spirit has become lax. Spirit can mean a lot of things. Ghost means a spiritual person. I mean, spirit can even refer to Jack Daniels or vodka. But when you say ghost, you refer to a spiritual person. And it also jars people. You know, they're used to hearing about spirit and spiritual and all that. But when you say Holy Ghost, praise the Holy Ghost, they're like, whoa, Holy Ghost, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the third person of the Trinity. So spirit and ghost are correct when you say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. But I think in our time, it's important to jar people and say Holy Ghost, so they know we're talking about a person. The Father is a He, the Son is a He, the third person, the Holy Ghost, is a He, not a it. Don't ever say it, He. And this is another reason, because Francis says, open to the new things of the Spirit. What does that mean? The Spirit. Spirit of the age? Spirit of our times? And what are these new things of the Spirit? I thought the Catholic religion doesn't change. I thought it was a traditional religion rooted in the year AD 33 when Christ rose from the dead and then 50 days later poured down the Holy Ghost on the apostles, the Blessed Mother, and the early church. And that the ideas, the theology, the morality, the dogma, the doctrine given in AD 33 is exactly the same in every single year until the second coming of Christ. Exactly the same. The apostolic deposit of faith. But the Pope says the new things of the Spirit. He says we might take some lessons. Sorry, I read that part. First, now there's three principles here on page 93 that Pope Francis is going to share with us. First, we need a respectful mutual listening free of ideology and predetermined agendas. So Francis is saying, bracket everything you know about theology, morality, dogma, and let's have no predetermined agendas. So the whole idea, go out and teach the entire world everything Christ taught us, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, the end of Matthew's gospel, bracket that off. And let's do some mutual listening. That's what the devil wants. Forget everything. Remember Adam and Eve? Eve says, well, we're not allowed to eat from that tree. Satan says, now let's bracket that off. All right, let's get rid of all of our ideology and our predetermined agendas. Let's do a mutual listening, Eve. Me, the serpent, the devil, and you, Eve. Let's have a mutual listening. The devil loves dialogue divorced from dogma. That's how the devil works. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a dialogue. And take your dogma, put that aside. Let's have a dialogue. Next thing you know, you're eating an apple and you're thrown out of the garden. Is that what you want? I don't. Francis says, the aim is not to reach agreement by means of a contest between opposing positions, but to journey together to seek God's will, allowing differences to harmonize. This is Hegel, the German philosopher Hegel. You have two ideas that are opposed to one another. Let's say Christianity and Islam. And instead of debating and one wins Christianity, they come and they go and they journey together and they merge into a third new thing. The Hegelian synthesis. That's not Christian. And many have noted how much Pope Francis Bergoglio loves Hegel. Hegel's a major influence upon him and upon the German episcopate, the German bishops. Francis goes on, most important of all is the synodal spirit. Notice the word spirit used again. Is this like the spirit of the ages, the spirit of Woodstock? Is it a feeling and a movement, or is it the third person of the Holy Trinity? Here, I don't think it means a third person of the Holy Trinity. To meet each other with respect and trust, to believe in our shared unity, and to receive the new thing that the Holy Spirit wishes to reveal to us. What is that? The new thing that the Spirit wishes to reveal to us. How does Francis know that the third person of the Trinity has a new thing he wants to reveal to us? My suspicion here is that Francis thinks the new thing is the New World Order religion. That the Spirit, he doesn't say Holy Spirit, the Spirit wants to reveal. This is why I keep saying, let's say Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is a very Catholic Christian identifier for the third person of the Trinity. Francis goes on page 93. Second, this is the New World Order religion. Second, sometimes this new thing means resolving disputed questions through overflow. This is a new hot word used by Francis. I mentioned it in my previous video about it, overflow. Breakthroughs happen often at the last minute, leading to a meeting of the minds that allows us to move forward. But the overflow might equally mean an invitation to change our way of thinking and our lenses, to shed our rigidity and our agendas and look in places we never noticed before. Ours is a God of surprises who is always ahead of us. So Francis is telling us that because of overflow, if we just get rid of our way of thinking and our lenses and shed our rigidity and our agendas, which is really just Novus Ordo language for dogma, teaching, tradition, get rid of that, get rid of all that, then the God of surprises who's ahead of us is going to reveal to us something new. The God of surprises. What is that new thing? It's the New World Order religion. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Ecumenism is the globalist version of religion. The globalist view of economics is called socialism. The globalist view of religion is ecumenism. All religions are equal. All religions dialogue. All religions journey together. Catholicism isn't more correct than Islam or Sikhism or Judaism or Buddhism. We're all equal and we're all open to the transcendent. the God of surprises. Surprise, you're all the same. But the Pope wants to be the chaplain of that whole arrangement. He wants to be the one seated at the UN as the chaplain of the New World Order religion. Third, final point before I close. Francis says, third is a patient process, which does not come easily to our impatient age. But perhaps in lockdown, we have learned better how to approach it. In 19th century Argentina, at a time of frequent wars between strong local governors known as caudillos, the story is told of a caudillo who was beating a retreat in the midst of a torrential downpour. He gave the order to pitch camp until the skies cleared, but as it was passed from mouth to mouth, the order took on deeper meaning, a wisdom that expressed that his people were living through wise counsel for times of tribulation and conflict. Discerning in the midst of conflict requires us sometimes to pitch camp together, waiting for the skies to clear. He's talking about COVID, by the way. Talking about the lockdown. Time belongs to the Lord. Trusting in him, we move forward with courage, building unity through discernment to discover and implement God's dream for us in the paths of action ahead. Over and over in this new book, Let Us Dream, he talks about the new thing that's going to happen. For him, Catholicism, dogma, liturgy, rituals, sacraments, that's all the old stuff. And we're dreaming now to move on to the new stuff, the better stuff, the global stuff, the unity stuff of all different faiths, ethnicities, languages. All this stuff is going to form into this new thing that dialogue is going to push into blossom. That's what he sees. And over here in America, he's got Joe Biden, who believes and wants to accomplish the same thing. The United Nations is going to dogmatize or discern. That's what they like to say. The United Nations is going to discern for us the new spirituality. And the lockdown, says Francis, let me read it for you, is part of that process. He says, but perhaps in lockdown, we have learned better how to approach it. So for Francis, the lockdown is part of the catechesis towards this new spirituality, which I, Taylor Marshall, utterly reject. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian. I try to the best of my ability to follow and believe every jot and tittle that Jesus Christ taught in the four canonical gospels, in all the books of the New Testament, all the books of the whole Bible, sacred tradition, the teaching of the church fathers, the ecumenical councils, the dogmas and anathemas of the ecumenical councils. Let me just say that. And the magisterium of the church. Not a UN synthesis of all religions that have Pachamamas and weird nativity scenes and new rituals, new liturgies. I don't want any of that. I just want pre-1955 Roman Rite. So we'll close there. I think 2021 is going to be even more difficult. And I believe that if you do not have access to an Eastern Catholic Church or a traditional Latin Mass church, you will not be able to receive the sacraments or receive any pastoral care. In 2021, they're going to go even harder in their dialogue with us. And they're going to take away what is traditional Catholicism. Who's they, Taylor? The presidents, the prime ministers, the governors, the cardinals, the bishops, the pope. They're in agreement. This is it. This is 2021, unless Pope Francis resigns. What is that? All right. Hold on. Let me go fix this. Trying to play Christmas music in my house. Unless President Trump overcomes Biden, unless Pope Francis resigns or whatever, 2021 for Catholics is going to get crazy. Mark my words. Come back to this video. If I'm wrong, you can make fun of me. I hope you can make fun of me. All right. We're going to close with an Ave Maria. Before I do, please like the video. Thumbs up. Please share the video. And please subscribe. Let us pray. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei. Or pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sic ut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. May the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, bless you as we finish Advent. Fill your home with love and faith and hope. And adoration for the Christ child. Pray the rosary every single day. They can take away the Mass. They can take away sacraments. They can't take away the rosary. If you can count to 10, you can pray the rosary. I often wonder, is that why Our Lady of Fatima said, pray the rosary daily, because she knew sacraments would be hard to get? I don't know. But make sure you're praying the rosary every single day, and also read the Bible every day. One chapter to three chapters. Highly recommended. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed.